Well, let's turn to Galatians 5, and we're just going to look at one verse today. Very important verse. It's a very dispensational verse. You probably have never heard it referred to as that, but it is very dispensational. And the verse that we're speaking of is Galatians 5:16. And we're in a section where we're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit versus the flesh. And so one of the things I would like to do that I think will kind of set the context to this particular verse is just to do a quick review of where the Galatians were at in the practice of their Christian lives, because it'll just set the context. You'll see why Paul is going to make the statement in the context of where the Galatians were and what they were doing in their present tense. So before we do this little review, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your goodness to us. We're grateful for the day. We're thankful for the opportunities that we've had in Sunday school and the morning service to be in your word. We're grateful for the times that we have to be with other believers and just to share with what we have in common. Father, we would pray your spirit would now guide and teach as we continue with our afternoon. In Christ's name, amen. So let's review where the Galatians were at this time that Paul's writing to them. And so let's just back up to Galatians chapter 1. And we can see that they were deserting the good news of grace for present tense. And they were deserting that for a perverted practice for Christians. And so let me just read Galatians 1:6 through 1:7. Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you by the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that would trouble you and would pervert, just desiring to change the gospel or the good news concerning Christ, the Christ there. And so they were deserting the good news of grace for present tense, if you will. They were actually setting aside the grace from God and trying to mature by the flesh. Let's go to Galatians 2:21, where Paul says, I do not set aside the grace from God. For if righteousness comes through law, it's anarthrous inequality of law, then Christ died freely, without cause, without purpose. Let me just skip on down to Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now made mature by the flesh? And that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to mature. They were trying to do. The flesh wants to do. And they were trying to mature by the flesh rather than living within the provisions of grace. And so they were being rendered inoperative from Christ. And they had fallen from grace in their practice by trying to live by law. Let's go over to Galatians 5:3 and 5:4. It says, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. I'm going to retranslate the beginning of verse 4 here to reflect the Greek. You have been rendered inoperative from Christ. Whosoever of you are trying to be justified by law, ye are fallen from grace. And so they, in their practice, were being rendered inoperative from Christ, the risen and glorified one. They had fallen from grace, and in their practice, they were trying to live by the law. And so they were no longer using Christian doctrine, which would be the truth, in order to live above the flesh or the sin nature. Let's read Galatians 5:7. You were running well. We're talking about previously, when Paul had left them, they were running well in their Christian lives. Who did hinder you or impede you or stop you that you should not obey or be persuaded by the truth? By the truth, the body of doctrine of how a believer can live free from serving the sin nature. And so there's a body of doctrine involved in that. And they were persuaded to try and do things by the flesh rather than to use the truth to live above the flesh or the sin nature. Now, as all Christians, they did have the potential to practice their liberty in Christ and to produce fruit. And as they were, as Christians, practicing their liberty in Christ and producing fruit, they could serve one another through agape love. That is a potential that all Christians have. Let's read Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but rather through agape love, serve one another. Serve one another through agape love, an aspect of the fruit from the Spirit. That fruit is going to have to be produced in order to be able to serve through it. one another, and to fulfill the new commandment, if you will. But as Christians, these Galatians, trying to live by law, they were essentially spiritually neutered, if you will. I know when I say that, people wake up. What I'm saying is they're spiritually neutered at that time. Is in trying to live by law, they weren't able to produce fruit. So they weren't able to produce fruit. And what Paul here reminds these believers is, nor were they able to keep law. So they weren't doing either one. When they were trying to live by law, they were trying to mature by the flesh. They weren't producing fruit. They weren't able to keep law, and the flesh was having its way. And the flesh was being manifested. And so that's what Paul has in mind when we read in Galatians 5:14. It's no accident here that Paul goes back and he brings the standard of the law up. He doesn't bring the new commandment up here because he's talking to most of these believers have already fallen from grace in their present tense salvation by trying to keep law. So he's not going to bring up the new commandment. He's going to show them that they can't even keep the lower standard of the law. They don't have agape love, in other words, to direct, right? And so he's going to go back to law, where the law, well, let's just read Galatians 5:14. It says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's selfish love. You know, if you don't have the fruit from the Spirit and have access to agape love, which doesn't seek its own, all you're going to have to direct is selfish love. And that's what the Galatians had, having fallen from grace in their practice. But they weren't even able to do that. And so in 5:15, he says, but since you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed, or that you be not consumed one of another. And so they were carnal. The flesh was being manifested. The Holy Spirit at this stage in the practice of these believers would be grieving, would be grieving. And so let's just be reminded of that verse that makes mention here in Ephesians 4:30, where Paul says, and stop grieving the Holy Spirit of God, whom by you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And so, you know, when the Holy Spirit, when he's not cooperated with so that he can minister the way he wants in our lives, by guiding, teaching, filling, he's going to be grieving. When we're carnal, when there's sin involved in our life, when we're carnal, the Holy Spirit's going to be grieving. Now, this brings us to our verse today in Galatians 5:16. Now, when we come to this verse, I'm just going to bring up a little illustration, because trying to deal with the flesh or the sin nature with law, it's like trying to put out a fire with gasoline. If you had a burn pile, and that burn pile is burning and it's smoldering, the last thing that you would want to do is to get gasoline and surround that fire with gasoline to try and contain it, right? Well, that's what trying to deal with the flesh or the sin nature is like when you use law. It's like trying to surround it with gasoline. Now, the sad thing for a Christian that's doing that is he's ignoring that rather than law, he has something else to deal with that smoldering burn pile. Water. And so trying to deal with the sin nature or flesh by law is trying to put out a smoldering fire with gasoline. That's not wise. You would never, ever think of doing that. And nor should a Christian be thinking about trying to deal with the flesh or the sin nature with law principle. We have something else. We have something better. And that's going to bring us to our verse today. And as I mentioned earlier, this is a very dispensational verse. This is a new dispensation, and here we have an amazing new promise for believers and a new potential. A new potential. And so Paul says, let me read the verse, and then we're just going to go down through, and this will break this up a little bit. But Paul says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will never ever fulfill the lust from the flesh. And so let's just go through this. And so Paul says, but I say, or just now I am saying, walk by the Spirit. And so by means of the Spirit. So I want to just talk about this word walk first. What is that? What is this word walk? This is a very important New Testament word. And it's a Greek compound word of peri and pateo. Now, peri is a preposition that just means around. And pateo is a verb that just literally means to walk, to tread a path. And so this Greek compound just literally means to walk about, to walk about. And it's here, it's a verbal form. It's a present active imperative. And it just literally means go about. the details of one's life. Or we could translate details. We could just say, go about the circumstances of one's life. With the concept of peri. Go about the circumstances or the details of one's life by the Spirit, by means of the Holy Spirit. And he has the Holy Spirit in mind here. And so here he's saying to go about, though, the details of one's life, and it's by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to go through some places that we find this important New Testament word used, because Paul certainly likes to use it, and I'm going to focus mostly on Paul, but Peter and John use it as well. But we can see some things about walking and how believers once walked prior to salvation. We can see and some of the potential that believers have to walk in different manners. And so we want to consider some of those. But let's go over to Ephesians chapter 2. And we can see that as Christians, here Paul's looking at prior to salvation, these Christians, to how they walked, how they went about the details of the circumstances of their life. And so in Ephesians 2:2, Paul says, where in times past you walked according to, not the world here, but according to the age of this world. And so here he's talking about prior to their salvation, that they walked, they went about the details or circumstances of their life measured by the age of the world, according to the prince of the authority of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we had our manner of life in times past in the lusts of our flesh. Now I'm going to comment, we're going to get to this word lust. This is epithumia, the strong desires of or from the flesh. The flesh or the sin nature, the fallen human nature, it has strong desires. And so our word lust here, we'll comment on that, but it doesn't have the negative necessarily connotation that our English word lust has today. Most people think lust, and a lot of people think of sexual immorality when they hear the word lust. Well, in the Greek, this word that's translated lust, it doesn't mean that. It just means strong desires. But here we see this these strong desires from the flesh doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And so that's a description of these believers prior to their salvation. They were going about the details of their life, the circumstances of their life, according to or measured by the age of the world. Now, it's interesting when we go through scripture, Christians can still go about the details of their circumstances in life like an unsaved person. We can still do that. And so let's just go over to Ephesians. We're in Ephesians. Let me just go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. And so here Paul says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you no longer walk as Gentiles walk. And so he tells them here not to go about the circumstances or the details of their life as Gentiles walk. So you don't tell somebody not to do something they can't do, right? That's a potential. Christians can do this. And so then he says, in the uselessness of their mind. If you have the King James, you have vanity. It's a, just a translated uselessness of their mind. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the hardness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Just our word for covetousness. So here you have works of the flesh that we would find in our section in Galatians 5:19 and following. And so as Christians, we still have the potential, though, to go about the details and the circumstances of our life, just like we did when we were unsaved. That's a potential that can happen. And so we can also go about the circumstances or the details of our life as a carnal Christian. As a carnal Christian. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So some of you must have needed some review today, because we're going to cover some similar verses to where Dale was this morning, and that's not the bad thing. I just figure, oh, the Holy Spirit's the one who's figuring this out, and so he knows. And so it's always interesting when some of these things happen. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, Paul says, "For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you zeal and strife and divisions," again, works of the flesh that we find in our list over in Galatians 5. He says, "Are you not carnal and walk as men?" Just walk, just to go about the details or the circumstances of one's life as men. And so just as mere men, some translations will go ahead and add in the ellipsis mere, just mere men. And it kind of carries that force there. And so in other words, as carnal ones, they were going about the details of their lives just as ones without supernatural enablement. That's basically what he's stressing there. Christians can also order the things concerning their lives as ones being enslaved to law. And then in a lot of ways, that's what our epistle to the Galatians reveals. But let's go over to the book of Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 9, and I can't remember what the other translations did here, but in the King James Version, when we get to the end of the verse and we see "have been occupied therein," that's actually our word for walking in the Greek. And so let me just read this. It says, be not carried about with various and strange doctrines for belief and practice. That's didache. "For it is good thing that the heart be established by grace, not with meats which have not profited them," now the King James reads, "that have been occupied therein." Just literally the ones that are walking therein, ordering their lives, the details of their lives, in those things. And so you see the potential there. Now, there's a lot of places in the New Testament that we have this word. I just chose some to illustrate. But I want to illustrate some of the positives. We mentioned this is a very dispensational verse. There's new dispensation. Here we have a very important promise in Scripture, and there's new potentials. And so the Christian can go about the details of one's life through faith. Through faith. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:7. And so here Paul says, for we walk. And so here again, our word to walk, to go about the details or the circumstances of one's life. He says, for we walk, and it's not by faith, it's via, it's through faith, not through sight, but through faith, an aspect of the fruit from the Spirit. Now remember, if those Christians that were trying to practice law in present tense, they weren't producing fruit. So this would be a potential for a carnal Christian, but it's a, or for all Christians, but you have to have the fruit to be able to go about really the details of one's life through faith. We also can go about the details of our life in newness of life. Newness of life. Let's go to Romans 6:4. In Romans 6:4, therefore we are co-buried with him, Christ, that is, through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead through the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. In newness of life. This newness of life is a reference to resurrection life because of this positional truth, if you will, this aspect that we've been immersed into his death, and that like as Christ was raised up through the glory of the Father, we can order our lives, the details or the circumstances of our lives by this newness of life, this resurrection of life that we have imputed to us because we're in Christ. We can also go about the details or the circumstances of our life in the previously prepared good works. Let's go over to Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, and his would be a reference to God. We're the result of his doing. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which the God has previously prepared that we should walk by them or in them. You could translate it either way. So we have these previously prepared good works that we should walk. We should go about the details of our life, the circumstances of our life, by them, the previously good works that God has prepared. Let's turn over to Ephesians 5:2. And here Paul says, and walk by love. You could translate it by or in love, but walk, go about the circumstances of one's life by agape love, an aspect from the fruit from the Spirit. As Christ has loved us and has given himself in place of us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But walk in love, agape love. And so that potential to be filled by the Spirit and then to be able to direct that to fulfill the new commandment, and we can go about the details, the circumstances of our life by love, by love. It's supernatural, very dispensational. Keep using that word today. But when we look at the Galatians, they weren't seeing distinctions. They weren't seeing that they had a new potential. They weren't seeing that they had something better. They weren't seeing or getting that they could live above the flesh. That they were going to try and do it by the flesh. They weren't going to be producing fruit, nor were they going to be earning any righteousness. And ultimately, the flesh, the sin nature, was going to be manifested. Law was just going to provoke it. And let's go over to Colossians 2:6. Colossians 2:6. Here's one, a good one, talking about the Christian going about the circumstances of one's life in their position in Christ. And so here Paul says, "In you, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord," full title, "so walk ye in him." Walk, or, you know, order the details, or go about the details of your life in him. And then let's just read verse 7 also, since it's connected. It says, "having been rooted," perfect passive participle, and then you've got this present passive participle. It says, "so having been rooted and being built up in him, and being established by the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving," or in thanksgiving, in the sphere of thanksgiving, or by thanksgiving. And so we just had Thanksgiving, but here you can see every day is Thanksgiving for a Christian, especially when he's spirit-filled and living in his position. Now, let's go over to Romans 8, and this is a very important context for dealing with walking, because we have the basic definition of going about the details or the circumstances of one's life to walk about. Just literally, the word to walk in the Greek here means to walk about, but it just means to go about the circumstances of one's life. Well, when we get over to Romans 8, here we can see that walking entails thinking. And so let's pick up in Romans 8:2. "So for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law," or the principle of the sin and the death. So we have this law or principle of Spirit of life in Christ. Paul says that's made me free from the principle of the sin nature, sin principle, and of the death. Now in verse 3 he says, "for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned the sin principle in the flesh." Now verse 4, and so the reason I backed up to verse 2 is I want you to make the connection with the law in verse 4 to the law in verse 2. Okay? So in verse 2, you have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. That's what he's referring to in verse 4 when he says that the righteousness of the law concerning might be fulfilled by us who are walking not according to or measured by the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so the righteousness of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ might be fulfilled by those that are
walking measured by the Spirit. That's basically what he's saying when you make the connection. Now, I don't have the time to work this context in detail, but let's just continue on here. Now you're going to see the connection between how we frame our mind and reflectively think is going to affect how we walk, how we go about the details concerning our life. Because in verse 5, you've got the explanatory gar. And so the four in the English, you see four. They that are just being measured by the flesh do mind or reflectively think the things from the flesh. So there's things that come from the flesh. There's strong desires. There's things that come from the flesh, the fallen human nature that we still have, even as Christians. And so for they that are measured by the flesh, they do reflectively think the things from the flesh, the fallen nature. But they that are measured by the Spirit, the ellipsis is they reflectively think the things from the Spirit. So now this is going to connect into our context of the Holy Spirit versus the flesh. Now he's going to explain further in verse 6. And he says, for to be carnally minded is death. Now, I'm going to translate this just straight from the Greek. And it just literally says, for the result of a frame of mind from the flesh. It's our word for frame of mind. It's the ma ending. So that's why I added into the translation the result. For the result of a frame of mind from the flesh is a quality of death, a quality of separation. But the result of a frame of a mind from the Spirit is life, a quality of life, and a quality of peace, an aspect of the fruit from the Spirit. And so you see that connection there. And I, won't take the bait and go further. I see the time. I'm going to adjust there. And so when we come back to our Galatians 5:16 passage, and Paul says, now I am saying, walk by means of the Spirit, And so by means of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, this is something that's new in this dispensation, this potential for a believer to go about the details or circumstances of one's life by the Holy Spirit. And so let's just make sure and we connect some of the dots. And so let's just make sure we understand that this is a dispensational verse because we're in the dispensation of grace. Let's go back into the upper room prior to the Lord, prior to his cross work and prior to his ascension and prior to the Son and the Father sending the Holy Spirit. And let's go and read John 14:16-17. And so the upper room discourse here, the Lord says, and I will ask as an equal the Father. So right there, he makes claim to his deity in addressing his disciples. And he shall give you another comforter of the same kind, that he may be with you just into the age. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but it's because it sees him not, neither experientially knows him. But you experientially know him, for he dwells alongside you. And so in the Greek, that's basically what it says. Your English just says, for he dwells with you. but it's para, just literally alongside you. Very important, these prepositions, by the way. For he dwells alongside you and shall be in you. He shall be in you. So he wasn't at the time. He's looking forward to the time that the Son and the Father were going to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was going to indwell believers. We know that that didn't happen until the day of Pentecost. And so let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1. And we can see that for each believer, this happens when the gospel for initial salvation is believed. And so in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, he says, in whom, talking about in Christ, you also hoped after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also when you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. In verse 14, who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory? And so let's just go ahead and make a connection back over to Romans 5:5. And tie this into agape love. And I'm going to stay, I'm not going to expand the context for time. And hope makes us not ashamed because the love of God is poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, not by, but it's via through the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. And so, Christians in this, Christians, or I could just say believers in this dispensation, have a unique relationship with the Holy Spirit who indwells us. And one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to fill believers. And so over in Ephesians 5:18, Paul says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is unsavingness. So there's no saving quality in drunkenness. You know, if, when somebody's drunk, they're being affected. They're being influenced with a substance that has no saving quality. But he says, but rather be filled by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. And so this is something new for this dispensation, is the potential to be filled by the Spirit, where the Holy Spirit makes up where we lack in the area of our rational thinking, of Christ-likeness. And so when we get to the fruit from the Spirit, we're going to be talking about things related to rational thinking. And so when we're filled by the Spirit, we're filled in the realm of our human spirit, where our rational thinking takes place. And it makes up where we lack. Now, the flesh, as Dale has been demonstrating in Sunday school, it operates in the realm of the soul. It wars against the soul, and so we'll be touching on that briefly. But since here I'm, let me just go over to Galatians chapter 5, and I just want to read Galatians 5:25. Because here Paul's saying, but I say, walk by the Spirit. In Galatians 5:25, after going through the fruit from the Spirit,
And then he says, and they that have, that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the passions and lusts. Then he goes in verse 25, he says, if we live by the Spirit, or since we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Now, the word they translated walk there is not our same word that we have in 5:16. It's a different word that means to step in line. So literally what he's saying is, since we live by the Spirit, let us also step by the Spirit. And I think it's safe to say that these Galatians were not living in the freedom they had in Christ to produce fruit and to live above the sin nature. And I should reverse that, to live above the sin nature and produce fruit. And to step by the Spirit. And so when Paul says, now I am saying, walk by the means of the Spirit, and he says, and you shall not fulfill the lust from the flesh. And so, and we've been through this a number of times over the years. This is a verse we frequently have made reference to, but you shall not. And he, the shall not you don't see in your English is a double negative. And so a double negative in the Greek doesn't equal a positive. A double negative makes it super duper strong. Then you have it with a subjunctive, which also makes it doubly strong. So when he says, and you shall never ever, and so that's a double negative, and then possibly, I guess we'd reflect the subjunctive, fulfill. And the word fulfill just means it's teleo, it just means to finish, to complete, to bring to the goal, to perform. So he's saying here, walk by means of the Spirit, and you shall never ever, not even once, possibly fulfill or bring to fruition or completion the lust of or from the flesh. And so this is where I'm just going to quickly cover a few things here on lust and flesh. So the potential to be walking by the Spirit, to be going about the circumstances of one's life, the details of one's life by the Holy Spirit. When this is happening, the Christian is never ever going to bring to completion the strong desire from the flesh. And we mentioned our word for lust here. It doesn't mean, has nothing to do with lust as we understand it today. It just literally means strong desire, strong desire. As a matter of fact, you can illustrate this word being used in a good sense where the Lord used it. In Luke 22, let me just show you, you have the verb and the noun used of the Lord where he said, I lust. And he wasn't using it in a bad sense. So let me just illustrate it that way. Let's go to Luke 22:15. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, with desire I have desired. And so in the Greek, this is just with lust I have lusted. You have the noun and the verb. But it just means with a strong desire, I have strongly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So it's just a way to illustrate that this word that we see translated lust, it doesn't have necessarily a negative connotation. It's based on context that you would understand its connotation. And here, a strong desire from the flesh is a negative. And so when Paul says, walk by means of the Spirit and you shall never ever bring to completion the strong desire from the flesh, he's using the flesh here in a sense of the fallen nature, the sin nature, the flesh. And this is something and we mention this frequently. This is one of my, I don't know, as a young Christian, this is one of the things that I was the most astonished at, is that in Christendom, there's people that believe when you're saved, then as a Christian, you no longer have a sin nature. And to me, when that goes against Scripture, I know that the source of that teaching is not out from God. There can be, that's just a terrible falsity that's been promoted in Christendom, that Christians don't have a sin nature. I mean, so if you accept that premise, then there's no need to walk by the Spirit. Because if you don't have a sin nature, you're not going to have strong desires from the flesh, right? Anyway, but we do, we can, we still have a sin nature. See, we died to the sin nature didn't die to us. And so we can still live by it. That's why Paul says in Romans 6:2, how shall we that died to the sin nature live any longer by it? See, it doesn't make sense because in our position, we died to it. But the sin nature didn't die. So we still can live by it if we count ourselves alive to it. Let's go. And so let me just make this connection as far as the flesh and the sin nature. Speaking of the same thing from a different viewpoint. But as, and Dale was here this morning, but over in Romans 7, and I'll be doing some things in Romans 7 in the coming weeks, but let me just read Romans 7:18. And so this is Paul in conflict as a believer between the two natures. And so in 7:18, Paul says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." And so this, he's talking about, now in verse 17, you can see he's talking about the sin nature in his flesh. He says, "Now then, it is no more that I that do it, but the sin," it's articular in the Greek, "the sin principle that dwells in me." You can also take this over to Romans 7:23. And Paul says, "I see a different law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law or principle of the sin." The sin principle, the sin nature. It's articular in the Greek. He says, "which is in my members." Which is in my members. And so, we still have a sin nature as Christians, if we're in these bodies. And you can see over in Romans 6:12, if you will, here Paul says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto the sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead." That's verse 13. "And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." So I want to read verse 12. It says, "Let not the sin," it's articular in the Greek, the sin principle, "therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it and the lust thereof," the strong desires thereof. And so the sin nature of the flesh has strong desires. Let me just quickly take you over to Romans 13:14. Here Paul says, "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ." And so this is our word to put on as an outer garment, talking about a mental process of putting on your position in Christ.
and make not provision or forethought for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, just to do its lusts, to do its strong desires. So the flesh has strong desires. And so that's what I'm trying to illustrate. Now, let me quickly take you back to 1 Peter 2:11, and then we're just going to tie this up and I'll save some things for next week. But in 1 Peter 2:11, here Paul says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts." There's our word, lust, strong desires. It just means strong desires, fleshly strong desires, which war against the soul. And so Dale's covered this. Dale's kind of filling in the blanks for me. He's making it nice for me to not have to go on all of these tangents. But remember, as Christians, our soul is not yet saved. It's not yet saved. You can see that back in 1 Peter 1:9. And so the strong desires, though, there's still strong desires that come from the flesh, the sin nature, the fallen human nature, that desire to do something lacking in character. It's a bent. And these fleshly strong desires, though, they war against the soul. The soul is the weak link. They're going to appeal to the soul, to the emotions. So that's going to be in contrast with the fruit from the Spirit, which is going to make up where we lack in our human spirit, in our rational thinking. So we'll continue this on as we begin to look at the Holy Spirit versus the flesh. They're contrary to one another. And so so when we read Galatians 5:16, and Paul says, I am saying, walk by means of the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit, and you will never ever fulfill or bring to completion the strong desire from the flesh. Paul is reminding these Galatians that the Holy Spirit can do what the law could never do with respect to the flesh. The law could never do this, but the Holy Spirit can, and the Christian can cooperate by walking by means of the Spirit, and then he will not bring to fruition or completion those strong desires that come from the flesh. And so this will just leave with saying, go about the details and the circumstances of your life by means of the Holy Spirit. That's a new potential, and you have this amazing promise. Doesn't say you won't have strong desires that come from the flesh, but if you're walking by means of the Spirit, you're not going to bring them to completion. And so when we start going down through the works of the flesh, now Dale made mention to that, I will be doing that, and I'm going to try and do it some detail. I'm actually going to save that for next year. So I'm going to do a couple more weeks here in Galatians. I'm going slow, slowing down. And then I'll pause for a couple weeks. And we'll pick up with the works of the flesh at the beginning of the new year. And so let's go ahead and close here. And Lord willing, I'll come back and we'll tie this in a little more and move on to Galatians 5:17 next week. Father, we do thank you for grace. We're thankful for the potential that we have to be supernaturally enabled and to not fulfill those strong desires that we might have from the flesh, when we go about ordering the details of our life by the Holy Spirit. May we be those that continue to put our positional righteousness into practice and be growing by grace. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.